everybody. Welcome to this episode of Ping, episode number 238.
You say it without style. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Ping. This is episode 238. That is 238 episodes of us bringing you the news that Microsofties are pinging each other about. We're back with a very good episode. Before we get into the content for today, we had some great comments about what we talked about last week.
Oh, man. Everyone seems to like battling robots and the concept of battling robots.
I think it's a universal concept. Everyone understands robots and combat.
Until they become completely autonomous with AI and start to take over the world. Then we gotta worry about it.
You know, there's been an increasing number of articles about that recently, about people being worried about it.
Totally.
Having worked in software for a very long time, I'm not worried about software taking over.
Hey, man.
There's always stuff holding
it back. Stephen Hawking is concerned about it. When it hits his level of mentality and brain power,
so my theory
I get concerned.
Is that he's thinking so far ahead of us already that he's like the canary.
Canary in the coal mine? Canary.
Yeah,
like, so if he starts going down, we should pay attention.
Not like that, but I mean, like, he's thinking so far ahead that maybe we have some time before Skynet and all that fun stuff. But let's talk BattleBots. TGRT says, if EMP is not allowed, then a radial arm saw-like setup. There are a lot of those. I think they were fairly successful.
I love them. Those ones there are one of my favorites because of the attachment to woodworking and power tools.
Sure.
It works out well. Although, I don't know how successful they were because of the sheer fact that it's going into metal, right? It would get stuck.
Yeah, I mean, I think there was a lot of...
Or just bounce off.
Like I said last week, it's kind of like a rock, paper, scissors. Some of them were made to be armored. Some of them were kind of vulnerable up at top because they were hydraulic or whatever. So it definitely depended on the match.
And our good friend, Clint.
Friend of the show.
Yes, friend of the show. Previous... He did an episode, didn't he? Or two or three? Did he not? Or was he too scared?
I'm almost certain he's been on the show.
Yeah.
I think he did it actually before we were on the show.
Oh, okay.
He loves
creator of BattleBots, basically. The creator of BattleBots, or one of the creators for BattleBots. He's into going ahead with flippers and spinners.
Yeah, so the flippers I thought were really interesting. Again, those are ones that, like, they came out, and if you weren't aware, they had, like, a spatula on the front.
Spatula or...
And then it would ram into the other robot and then try to flip it over, and then kind of just, that's it. Those machines wouldn't work.
Yep.
And then there was ones that came out that would work upside down.
Mm-hmm.
Or ones that had, like a train bevel. I don't think that's what it's called, but, you know, like, the front of a train has, like, a wedge at the front. So some of them had, like,
a cow
skirts.
Scoop. A cow scoop.
Is that what those are called?
Yeah, they get the cows off the tracks.
Oh, that's so morbid. So some of them had those and kind of worked against it, but those really worked. And then he has said he had a good design a while back, but that was long ago. Now's the time to bring it back.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. JTZ or JT Zabecki.
I like that as a name.
It's a good handle.
No, the robot has a name is what I mean.
Flamethrower, although I don't know if that's allowed. Is it? I don't think that one's allowed because it's like, you know, dangerous. And hydraulic pinchers and spinning saws.
Lower sides.
Mm-hmm. Could work.
Make it look like a modified Klingon bird of prey. That's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
You have to have cloaking.
My son saw this last episode. Mm-hmm. He's actually excited to be able to look at the BattleBots.
Yeah. That's it. Edward W. Would like to see a flying robot class. We were getting all geeking out before this, right before I read that. I was like, yes, yes.
Absolutely. Yes.
He says to go on about the you know, the popularity of drones and everything. And drones is such a misused term. Drones, for me, are always autonomous. Quadcopters are a lot of what is going out there now, radio-controlled ones. I have one given to me as a gift, and I haven't used it too much. But it is fun.
Yeah.
And I'd love to battle them.
We did a spot about them doing races, did we not? I don't think we did. There's a...
I don't know.
The heads-up VR gear to be able to view first person from a drone.
Yes.
And they race them in France.
Interesting.
Inside the woods. It looks like the...
It looks like the
Star Wars speedsters.
I know exactly
guys
what you're talking
about. Going around inside like that.
Yeah.
And they fight. They basically have this loop track that they go around inside the woods, avoiding the trees, and then they'll actually come and dive bomb and try to take the guy out.
So I had read that some people, you have the same thing, the first person view of them.
Mm-hmm. You put on like these like visors to watch.
If you fly them behind you, and walk around. It's like being in a third-person game of yourself. And yes. That's not the thing I'd like to try. It would be a little weird, but...
Speaking of flying behind you, Develop CK talks about the autonomous category and how that would be a very interesting category to have based on where things are with computing power and the flavor of the month.
And there are software games like this where there are AI bots that fight each other and you can program them and stuff. So it would make sense to like maybe have qualifiers in that level and then like in, you know, build up to getting ones with actual physical space. It'd be very cool. I'd finally get to be able to use my artificial intelligence degree.
That could work.
One of my favorite things about Microsoft devices is after you get them, they continuously update and get new features.
It's the magic of software.
The magic of software, yes. it's actually one of my favorite parts about the Xbox is it's
evolves.
Been over a year now. And
yeah.
The three, you saw the way the 360 evolved and from blades. Do you remember the Blade UI?
Oh, man.
So our new device, the Microsoft Band, just got its first major update, and it included some really cool features, including something I had no clue how this would work, but a keyboard that fits in. What was the size you were saying?
Yeah, I was reading a tweet that came out. It's again, the keyboard technology is called WordFlow. It's predictive, and it's using a pixel size. Again, the size of the screen, I think it's like 33 by 11, to be able to sit there with your band and be able to text with your band as a keyboard as an input device. It's just mind-blowing.
Yeah, keyboards
from Microsoft
like
Research, they came up with that
full
concept.
Full keyboard is like 100 and something keys. You're talking like a pixel
understand.
A key.
Basically, it's designed to allow you to go through and respond to messages you don't have access to, besides just doing the simple quick mode kind of stuff. This is also in partnership with the release of the Microsoft Band SDK.
Yes.
To allow other developers to go through and do more stuff.
So this is just
very
like,
cool.
These are just showcases of what is possible. Mm-hmm. You can go out there and create brand new stuff. And again, it's just working on Microsoft technology. Yep. So the same stack that you're used to.
The web-based Microsoft Health dashboard basically now is able to go through and add more information, different reports, different things. They get a new dedicated cycling mode for both indoor and outdoor versions of cycling. New workouts have been added, included as well. And this is actually coming from two guys that actually don't have a band yet.
I don't.
I know. I still haven't gotten it.
I was an early adopter on the whole fitness band thing. I had a Fuel Band. I had a Fitbit. The new apps and the SDK made me want to get one.
Yeah.
I fell off of the wagon, I guess, because I like the numbers weren't changing my behavior. Like I'm already like active and do sports and stuff. So like seeing the number really didn't do much for me. But now the fact I can do other stuff or like program my own or like respond, that stuff's really cool. I may look into them again. I don't know. You wear an actual watch, so
I wear an actual analog watch. Yes.
I need to get like the Microsoft Band with the Leatherman band on it and like combine all of these things. Otherwise, I'm gonna have like a sleeve of devices eventually.
So very cool, syncing of data, everything, stuff like that as well. And basically looking at trying to do a monthly update with the band is what the challenge has been laid out by the Microsoft team. So we'll see how it progresses.
Excellent.
I don't know about you, but if I'm going to be buying a premium distilled liquor of some kind, I'd like to have some ability to go through and interact with it more besides just scanning the barcode or tapping or snapping a picture of the QR code or something like that.
No, not something I ever thought I would need.
No, but you know, there's this new thing that's actually being debuted and talked about over at the Mobile World Congress, which is actually a flexible electronic NFC tag that's going to be sitting as part of or behind the label of premium whiskey. In this case, it happens to be Johnny Walker is the example bottle that they have.
Yeah.
As a collaboration between, how do you even pronounce that word in there anyway? Diageo?
Sure.
And also Thin Film, basically, announcing how this works.
I can't pronounce that one.
And so you can think of it almost as being used as anti-counterfeiting or proof that it's real, another way of ensuring you're actually getting the same kind of products you're using with, because obviously it is a bit of a premium price alcohol.
Right, your Johnny Walker Blue is one of their top shelf ones.
But they're looking at this from another option as well, for being able to, because it's NFC, to be able to do cool things with it.
Yeah.
So potentially you can go through and, you know, tap it with your phone and be able to find out, you get some marketing promotional discounts or coupons or something like that to be able to use, to be on the spot.
Right, they're saying this could be contextual based on like where you are. So if you're in the store, you get marketing or promotional, maybe a discount on it, maybe it'll talk to you and tell you why you should buy it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're at home, maybe you can tap it and it'll provide you with a list of mixers you can enjoy along with it. My favorite mixer, of course, is ice.
Yes, I would say you don't know if you want to mix too much with the Johnny Walker Blue.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I'll take that Johnny Walker Blue with a Coke, please.
On the side. On the,
perhaps. But the idea is that it's being shown off at Mobile World Congress. It's the foray down into a more interactive experience with your beverages and other things. But think about it. I mean, they allude to the fact here that, you know, in the coming years when things get cheaper, you can see these things start to be integrated with everyday products like, you know, produce and fruit and milk and vegetables, stuff like that.
Yeah, that's what I thought of as well. They're saying about being able to give you more information, maybe about where it came from. Maybe it's like it's heritage or lineage, if it's like an organic thing.
Or is it within 100 miles of where you happen to purchase it from? Some people are into that for doing local.
Oh, yeah, sure. Like local sustainable stuff. Yep. Or if it letting you know when it's going to go bad or, you know, like tapping on something to let you know. Because you ever like look at the bottom of like something to try to figure out the sell by or best by date when you look back in your fridge and like, I'm not sure if that was last week or 2 weeks or
even just trying to find that stamp because you never know where it is.
Well, then you have to decode it.
Yeah.
Like, I swear this last one was like 0106 and it was like, I didn't buy this 9 years ago, I think. I may have.
Yeah.
I've had a couple fridges since then. But yeah, it'd be cool to get the information. And again, as it gets cheaper, you can find it, imagine finding it in more everyday kind of items. So very cool kind of technology stuff going to integrate with our everyday life.
We'll see. From the update desk, I don't know if you remember, but back in September, I believe he brought you the story around how Office 365 be available for free for students.
But wait.
That was US only.
Yes.
And we mentioned that, I do believe, for the caveat that's there. We're now expanding that program. They announced today on the Office environment that it's being expanded to a very large list of countries around the world.
From Afghanistan to Zimbabwe.
Yes.
I don't think it's every country in between.
No, they're saying dozens of countries around the world. but as before, the IT department or the school has to basically purchase Office 365 subscriptions for the faculty/students to be able to use and support a delivery of their environment.
So basically, you subscribe for the school, and then the students can log in with their .edu address.
Right.
That school's already in the database, they match that up, and their students are able to download their subscription. Now, if that's an Office 365 subscription, does that also come with all of its benefits, like storage and all that stuff?
It comes with 1 terabyte of storage. It comes with the software updates.
Soon to be unlimited.
Yeah, soon to be unlimited. It comes with the automatically updating software because it's streamed down to be able to work.
Your one version kind of
deal. The one version that's always up to date, which is very, very cool. And obviously access for both PCs and also Macs. Supposedly, it's going to be available for up to 5 PCs or Macs.
Which is the general thing. Yep. Actually, I found that to be extremely useful. As in the United States, they'll get access to Word, Excel, PowerPoint, OneNote, Access, and Publisher. Mm-hmm. PCs and Macs, actually.
Yeah.
I think you said Macs as well. I spotted
it. But that also now gives them access to it on iPad and Android for the full versions, not just the freemium versions
as
well.
Yes, this is true.
So check in to find out if your school's actually doing this, because there is caveats to make sure that it's all legit.
Yep.
And then, like you said, sign into the appropriate site with the appropriate ID that's already been activated, and boom, you're good to go.
Kind of like BattleBots, but without the battle, and more of driving.
And more speed.
Formula E is the Formula One's electric version of racing. Kicked off this past September with their inaugural season, and has been successful so far. I think people were really worried about change, a little something different, worried that electric cars wouldn't be as exciting, but so far it's been going pretty well. News is just coming that it has been successful enough that they'll be expanding it for the next season. They're already planning it out.
Currently, all 10 teams use the same car.
Right.
And they have the same spec, and they aren't allowed to change it at all.
Correct.
So it survived. The season is wrapping up.
Yes.
And they're going to be allowed to tinker with it for the very first time.
And they're going to limit it in a couple of ways that I think are really interesting. One is they're going to limit exactly what kinds of things can be changed. So they're not going to be allowed to change like the aerodynamics of the cars.
So they're focusing on changes around the powertrain, which includes the motor, the inverter, and the gearbox, and the cooling system, basically, this time around.
Not the battery yet.
Not the battery yet.
They've said there's probably going to be like season 3.
Yep.
The idea is that the work being done there will benefit all of the electric vehicle kind of industry. They actually have limits on cost and a couple of other things, so that, again, it could be useful, could enhance the technology for the entire field. They're allowing people to sell the technology to rival manufacturers. Mm-hmm. It's actually some really cool stuff. So looking forward to seeing, now that they've done just the drivers and the unique cars, what kind of technology is going to improve for next year?
I will admit, I've never actually seen one of these races yet.
I haven't seen one of, not the Formula
E. And I'm just wondering, what does it sound like? Because the distinctive sound of the Formula One whining engine going down the road.
I didn't think about that.
You know, what do you think it sounds like?
I don't know. Now I'm interested. I gotta watch some videos.
I gotta go do some research on that. It's like, you know, I'm just thinking about how they actually have to. They're thinking about here in the U.S. about putting like fake engine sounds into electric cars,
I've heard
so
that
people don't get run over in parking lots.
It's part of everyone being like stuck in their phone or whatever nowadays. But I've done it before, where I look and I take a step on the. Onto the street, and also in a Prius or a Tesla or something goes by. I'm like, did not see that coming.
Very, very cool, though. Now we're going to have to do a little bit of Ping homework to find out about this and see how they go.
It's a very philosophical question. What is the sound an electric F1 car makes?
Racing down the street.
Back in 2009, the Office Lab started up and were an interesting place for people to kind of do side projects and kind of experimental things. It has since been rebranded as the Microsoft Garage. I think we've talked about it once.
Yeah, we talked about that once, I think.
Well, we are now announcing a bunch of apps are coming out. It has become more of an incubator for consumer-focused apps across all mobile platforms.
Yeah, so Android, iOS, doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter if you are a robot or a fruit phone.
Yes, they have a bunch of different ones that are now available for testers to download, I guess you would say, because they're not officially released.
I'll say they're all, they say they label them as an experimental phase. So they're interesting, they're stuff to go and try out, but they may not be ready for, you know, purchase or, you know, things like that. They have a pretty wide range from something called DevSpace, which if you are like me and have many projects up on Visual Studio Online, then it's an easy way to like manage your projects and see things going through there through an app.
The one that caught my eye, I want to go off and try, I haven't tried it yet, is Squad Watch, which is for Windows Phone, allows you to see where people that I care most about and where they are and what they're doing.
Which is kind of cool. Like
in real time. Squad, it's like, you know, tracking of the family, I guess. I don't know.
There's Torque, which is an app that extends the Bing Search Assistant for Android. And now onto Android Wear, you can onto your watch as well. So that's kind of a way to kind of bridge into technology from our software.
And an interesting one is actually Keyboard for Excel.
Yeah.
Like, who'd have thunk?
I don't know.
this one here is for Android, where it basically goes through and it replaces the standard keyboard, which is obviously QWERTY focused, to be just numbers and, you know, the things you would normally do.
Yeah.
That would make it more
task-based
type solution to be able to go off and do stuff from Excel keyboard. So specific to Android for that one there.
So yeah, check out the list of apps there. You can go to Microsoft.com/garage and check out the portal. There's a few number, but they've been growing over time, and it's an interesting one if you do run devices of all different flavors. Thanks for watching episode 238 of Ping. That is 238 episodes in the can. I liked your, I didn't realize you did the,
I have no idea what's gonna happen.
Last time was fantastic. It was actually pretty, it was great. If you didn't see, you should go back and watch 237.
You got it.
Make sure to continue the conversation with us at all times. You can follow us on Twitter with our hashtag, which happens to be #PingShow. Follow us individually at Mark DeFalco.
At RicksterCDN.
Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/ThePingShow. Facebook, I was going to say. That's not right.
That's not good.
I just watched the social network the other day. That's why.
And don't forget those lovely snail mails, if you want to do it, at ThePingShow, care of Channel 9, Building 20, 1 Microsoft Way, Redmond, Washington, 98052.
Once again, you can always comment right below and we'll give you a question.
Imagine that. Be part of the show. Help us out.
We talked about Microsoft Band SDK preview becoming available and the new keyboard and cycling apps. What else do you want over there now? Now that you have a band that's a wrist computer.
Yes.
That is available.
Complete with keyboard to be able to swipe and talk on it.
Which is still insane. I gotta try one out.
You would. What would you want to have as an add-on app to do that? Or what would you make as an add-on app to do that?
Yeah. What would you make if you can't develop, then what would you want someone else to develop?
I would want someone to develop call me geeky, some kind of alerting service or status updates for my cloud services.
Sure.
So, you know, operational insight tie-in for operational insights on Azure.
App Insights or App Insights or
service availability.
Yeah, or I hit your I'm auto scaling because I've got a bunch of traffic. I want to know.
Yeah.
Because I do much more of the web stuff, so I want to know if I've got a bunch of traffic.
Is that your suggestion? You have a different one.
I don't know. That's a good idea. I'd have to think a little bit more. I'd like a. I haven't played with one. My thing with I like food tracking, but it's always very difficult. Mm-hmm. If there was a quick way to do quick stuff on there.
Peanut butter jelly time. Yeah, you know.
Let us know in the comments. We will read them. We will follow up all next week with you. Next week we're still here. Think so?
I think so. Yes. We're working on schedule.
We've been consistent, so let's. We'll see.
We might have some highlights from Mobile World Congress. We don't know.
Perhaps that's true. It's March when this comes out.
Is it March Madness?
That'll be coming up soon too.
Is that's the football thing, right?
Yes.
That's
college handball. Football?
Handball?
It's basketball.
It's basketball. Okay. Yeah.
Football's in the fall.
I don't even know if we play football or basketball in college. Up in Canada. That's how much of a sports guy I am.
We'll see you next week.